This is TurnbuckleTrash.net. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
I love video games and pro wrestling.
With three fans who know how to talk some trash.
None of these cross-eyed mouth breathers deserve to hear this voice.
I guess it's time to take out the trash.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show. Whoa, that never ends. It is Turnbuckle Trash. Hi, I'm Dave Denton, joined once again from beautiful North Carolina. Here is Christopher Evans. How are you doing, Chris?
It's a cloudy day here in Salisbury, North Carolina. We have been watching the storms in Kentucky go through, and we are also watching the storms coming here. We're going to have some bad storms, but we're also going to have a good storm right now. It's called Turnbuckle Trash.
That's right. We're going to talk more about what happened in Kentucky last week because you have some personal friends and stuff like that. We'll do that in just a little bit. I want to tell you some other things coming up in today's Turnbuckle Trash. We're going to talk to William Cutting, the Bone Saw, real name Josh Martinez, who recently had neck surgery, which is very serious. And it's kind of put a hold on his career. We're going to talk to him about when he injured himself, how he thinks he injured himself, and what he's planning to do in the future. And it's a really great interview. Zane joins us for that. A lot of great insight there from Zane O'Mac. And also, since we are almost at Christmas, we're going to have some special Christmas vignettes for you today, not only from the WWE, but from a stand-up comic. And that'll all be coming up in just a little bit here on Turnbuckle Trash. But Chris, before we get into the professional wrestling, a week ago on Friday night, there was tragedies that occurred in the South and the Midwest with a series of tornadoes that hit near your mother's house. And that's my cousin. And also my sister lives across the street, just a few miles from there. And then there was damage all over Tennessee. Memphis, Tennessee had one person dead. There was damage in Henry County, Tennessee, damage in Dresden, Tennessee, and also some in Missouri. But the big place was Mayfield, Kentucky. And you used to live and work there. So as you found out what was going on in Mayfield and what a tragedy is, that town is just destroyed. Let's get your feelings about that, Chris.
Well, when I saw the pictures, I mean, it looks like an atom bomb went off. Uh-huh. It is destroyed. Absolutely destroyed.
Did you work in the county jail, city jail, or what was your employment?
Oh, I was in the county. I was in the city jail. I worked there for 13 years. Uh-huh. And I know this town like the back of my hand. Uh-huh. And looking at it with the pictures, calling friends, trying to find out if they're okay. Couldn't get through to anybody. Right. Finally got a hold of about two people, and they're just, you know, they're all distraught and crying and screaming. And I'm like, oh my. So I finally got a hold of one person. They said they were okay. But looking at the pictures, and I mean, I just can't believe what I'm looking at. And let me back up for just a second. Sure. I'm asking everybody that can hear this, if they're living in Kentucky, if they hear this, the views of this man is not the views of Turnbuckle Trash. Mm-hmm. I am asking for the resignation of the jailer of Graves County. Uh-huh. You cost the life of a deputy. Hmm. You cost the life of a deputy. You knew the storms were coming, but you still let inmates and a deputy go to work, and now we've lost a deputy.
And you knew this this gentleman, didn't you?
I worked with him in 2013 through 14.
Yeah,
he was a good man, very good man.
That's a shame.
But it is a shame. But I'm asking for people to just, you know, put them in your thoughts and prayers. They need everything. This town is going to take so many years to rebuild, and I'm glad that my parents were not in the path of this storm, because there wouldn't be nothing left of that little town if that had made that turn.
And, you know, there was sightings and a lot of damage in Henry, Tennessee, and in Hazel, Tennessee, Kentucky, right on the border, Murray, Kentucky, yep. Which we both have been there many, many times. It was just a tragedy. And if you have a few extra dollars, give it to the Red Cross or some charity that's going to help. This is real life, and We really wish them the best. I do know that you had posted on Facebook on your personal page that the home you used to live in was destroyed.
The house that I was renting from, and I had a roommate, if we had still been living there to this date, my roommate would be dead. The roof collapsed on top of where she was. The place where I was at, my room, all I could see was just the inside of it. It was completely destroyed. And I'm just happy that we had moved here to North Carolina. But on the on the side point, I wish I could be there to help, you know, help the city.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. I'm surprised I wasn't deployed to the city for search and rescue, but FEMA has not called, and that's fine by me, because I wouldn't be with the guys. I would be looking for friends and everything, trying to make sure they're okay. But guys, donate a pint of blood or something for these people. They need everything they can get.
Yeah, that's real life. Everything they can get.
That's real life. Yes, it is.
So let's get back. And I really wanted to let you talk about that because I know it's something near and dear to your heart. And you know, I lived in Missouri, Arkansas, Louisiana, Tennessee. That's part of Tornado Alley, Oklahoma, Missouri, Illinois, Kentucky. They get a lot of storms, but it is unusual for them to have them in December, although it's not unheard of. So our best to those in the Midwest, Kentucky, and all that.
Like I told my mother, I said, if it had hit Paris, it would be like the last tornado that went through that town.
Uh-huh.
That was back in 80. I can't remember the date, 84, 85. A lot of places are gone that they can never rebuild, and it's going to take years to rebuild this place. Our hearts go out to Mayfield, Kentucky.
Yeah, and you talked about the tornadoes that hit in Tennessee or Paris, Tennessee. I was there. I was a news director. I think it was around 1978 when several tornadoes were sighted inside Paris, Tennessee. So I understand you know, where you're coming from.
Yep.
But, Chris, we've got a lot of stuff going on today on Turnbuckle Trash. Let's get right into it. We both have just finished watching Friday Night SmackDown that was on the 16th of December, or 17th of December. What a difference between 1 week of Friday Night SmackDown.
Yeah.
Last night, we were recording this on Saturday morning. It was pretty good, wasn't it?
It was the last segment was really good because it was that plot twist that everything needs. And
yeah, let's talk a little bit about the difference between last week and this week. They opened up with a good segment with Brock Lesnar and Sami Zayn and Paul Heyman.
Oh, yeah.
And that kind of led to the finale of last night's SmackDown. But let's go back a week. After that particular almost 20-minute segment, which was a little long, but it was entertaining. I'll give you that. And I always talk. I always think that some of these bits go a little long. Had somebody on Facebook say, "Well, the CM Punk and MJF promo went about that long." I said, "Yeah," and I thought that one was too long too. So I am an equal opportunity offender here. But after that 20-minute segment on a week ago SmackDown, that show went so far downhill, a three-minute women's match. Then there was more talk segment, and then there was a flashback to what happened Monday Night Raw. Then another produced piece. It was like they just didn't know what they were going to do. And, you know, I'm a wrestling fan, Chris, okay? I watch professional wrestling. I turned it off. I couldn't handle it anymore.
Wow.
I didn't watch from about, let's see, the last 50 minutes. I did not watch because I was just flabbergasted, and I turned it over to Rampage, which had on DVR the AEW, and it was a great show, very entertaining, lots of good matches, all packed within an hour. And I'm not trying to cut down WWE too much, but sometimes I just scratch my head and say, what were they thinking? What are they doing? But I guess we can say that about any promotion, can't we?
A lot of people are upset with AEW because they're, you know, the shows are becoming, you know, a little bit of blah. But WWE, there was one guy that had put it on his Facebook page. He said, "I can't take it no more. I would rather wash clothes than watch SmackDown or Raw." And I had to, I had to reply to him. I said, "That's pretty dang bad. I hope you have a lot of clothes." Jeez.
But then again, so, last night, the SmackDown was pretty good. They had lots of good action. The match with Ridge Holland and Cesaro was a lot of fun to watch. There was a nice little plot twist then. And then when we had the Tribal Chief come in, and he was in the ring with the Usos and Paul Heyman. Then he fires Paul Heyman for, you know, for what he's been doing. And that was a nice little plot twist then. And then Brock Lesnar storming the ring, clearing the ring. And I thought it was good when Paul Heyman says, "I'm not protecting Brock Lesnar from you. I'm protecting you from Brock Lesnar. I thought that was very well done. So even though I criticize, I also, most of the time, I will try to say this was very well done. But, man, the difference between the two shows was, it was night and day. I just wonder if they changed everything at the last minute a week ago, because it was pitiful. I mean, pitiful.
I mean, yeah, it has to be Vince coming at the last minute and changing everything, like you said a long time ago. He has to be doing it, but I mean, why are you changing things at the last minute? Don't do this. If these guys have got it down, they just need new people to write stories or something. They got to have some creative, because their creative team, I guess they watch the Mickey Mouse Club before they start writing. I don't know. Or do they, I mean, why don't y'all go back and watch some old tapes of the NWA or Memphis or something? I mean, get an idea. Old ideas don't ever die.
And they can always work.
They can always work.
I'm going to take you back to Monday Night Raw, okay? This past Monday Night Raw, they used an old school method to tell the new story, with kind of like a gauntlet match with Bobby Lashley having to take on Seth Rollins, also then take on Kevin Owens and Big E for a chance to get as part of day one. Good writing. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was good writing. The only thing that would have made it better is if it would have been a gauntlet match, not here's a match, then we take a 20-minute break to let Bobby catch his breath and, you know, that kind of thing. I thought that would have been better, but still, they used that old school method of a gauntlet type match to sell a new storyline. And it worked. It was very well done. And
very well.
But I think sometimes they just decide they don't want to try what's, you know, you got to think out the box. But thinking outside the box, what you want to do with that is to take what's in the box and kind of tweak it outside of the box. It just makes sense. And I just think that sometimes, and I'm not saying all the time, I just think and I believe that sometimes these guys at the WWE, whether it's Vince or the writing staff, just doesn't know what to do. They haven't come up with an outline of where they want the story to go. And I will blame it mostly on having too many pay-per-views. I really do.
Yeah, I mean, but they're really knocking down the pay-per-views now, aren't they? I mean,
oh no.
They're still bringing them up.
Oh, once a month. Good grief! I mean, they're doing once a month, and then they'll have special show. They might have a special show here and there that will run on the Peacock network. And you know, they had around Thanksgiving, they had the pay-per-view, and now they're getting ready for day one, which is a new one. They've never had a day one before, and it's going to be in Atlanta, Georgia. And then they'll have to have the Royal Rumble or the King of, you know, then, you know, the road to WrestleMania begins. So they'll be gearing up for that over the next 4 months or so. And they'll have probably a pay-per-view at least once a month, if not, once every 2 to 3 weeks have something going on. So I just think that maybe they're not following their own outline, and that is kind of bothersome. Yeah.
Well, I think that they just ought to have the four pay-per-views. They should just have, you know, the Royal Rumble, SummerSlam, and maybe, you know, WrestleMania or, you know, the King of the Ring, and that's it. That's all they should have. Or, you know, Money in the Bank, or why don't we just bring back the Elimination Chamber?
Yeah.
Come on, do something. Besides that, I mean, what happened to the Elimination Chamber? I mean, did you sell the medal for scrap or what? Where is it at? But, no, I think that all these pay-per-views are starting to wear thin on the WWE. And, I mean, look at all the rumors that are going around that is the WWF for sale? Who's going to buy it? And then somebody chimes in. He believes that The Rock will buy the WWE. I don't believe that. More like sprout wings and fly.
I think The Rock's got a little bit too much money invested for the XFL, which will start up again this year. It's going to start up in the spring. But, Chris, I found this real quick, and we'll get back to the rumors about the WWE. The pay-per-view schedule coming up right now, Saturday, January the 1st, day one. Then on Saturday, January 29th, the Royal Rumble. February, they haven't announced the date or what it's going to be called yet, but there is one in February. And then that's WrestleMania is the first Saturday in April. That's just the first part of the year. I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't add something right before WrestleMania, you know, to kind of set up the go-home shows or whatever that is going to be. Then they've got coming up on May the 8th, to be announced. Then on June the 15th, another to be announced. July the 2nd, Money in the Bank. That's going to be in Las Vegas, by the way. So they're doing them about once a month. I mean, and I'm wondering if they should go back to doing one brand for one pay-per-view, then the other brand for another pay-per-view like they did several years ago. So, you know, that's just my opinion.
Yeah, sure. That's a good opinion, though. But, and I mean, the way that they're cutting talent, how much pay-per-views can you have? I mean, half their roster's gone. And then it's just, it's confusing as all get out that they're doing this every stinking time. What do you guys want from us? I mean, you're chasing away your fans. I mean, if you all remember on the Turnbuckle Trash page, I had put where Monday Night Raw, where the attendance was and all the seating. If you had noticed, there was nobody there.
Yeah, that was in Minneapolis, St. Paul. It was in St. Paul. And the thing is, Chris, if you think back just another week before that, where was AEW? Minneapolis.
Minneapolis, yeah.
So these are like twin cities. Now, here's a theory. You've got these two promotions coming in offering basically the same product. And you've got wrestling fans that are going to be split about what they're going to be because they only have so much money in their pocket.
True.
Right. So maybe, and I'm not trying to put any words into their mouths, but maybe some of the Minneapolis and St. Paul, Minnesota wrestling fans we're seeing that, they're going to be saluting the old AWA during this. And they grew up with Vern Gagne, and they grew up with Baron Von Raschke and the Killer Bees and things like that. And they decided, since they knew they were going to do some of that, to go see that. So there was good attendance for AEW in Minneapolis, not so good attendance for St. Paul and WWE Raw. So I just think, you know, sometimes the money gets spread way too thin.
It does. And, I mean, AEW is coming to Greensboro or Charlotte one. They're coming. I can't get tickets. I tried. I couldn't do it. The tickets are going like $75 now.
Wow.
And, I mean, I would, but also I can't get no time off for work either. But this is my only day off I have today. But other than that, I mean – AEW's coming to North Carolina. The WWE, I don't know when they're going to be coming, and I'd love to go, but if I need a sleeping pill, maybe Raw will help me. I don't know. Yeah. So.
Well, you are going to was it Greensboro? Greensburg?
Greensboro?
They're coming on the 22nd. That's the WWE.
Okay, Greensboro, yeah.
And then February the 5th, the WWE Road to WrestleMania is going to be in Salt Lake City. And so I don't know if I'm going to be able to go because of health concerns. And then here we are in, you know, the Intermountain West, which this time of the year is just, you got to decide at the last minute if you're going to go someplace, because right now it's sunny and 9 degrees outside this morning, but we've had probably a foot and a half of snow in the last week.
Wow.
We've had really bad travel conditions and more. But that's coming up February the 5th. And then before I get into it, I got to tell you something really quick here. Devotion Championship Wrestling, and we talk a little bit about this in our segment with Bonesaw is doing something special during the holidays. They are going to have special camps for kids, for young kids who want to learn a little bit more about how to run the ropes, how to take a bump. You know, they're not going to put anything on them that they can't handle, and they're just going to let them have fun, maybe do a little tumbling in the ring, and it's going to be done by Andrew Sowell, Buff Mache, also Manny Lemons, and Rekha Tahaka, and Zane's going to take his little boy to it. So I think that is just incredible. I've never heard of that. That's a lot of fun.
That's going to be fun. That will be fun right there.
Yeah.
That sounds like that'd be a fun time.
So
Andrew's hoping for so well.
Yeah, good old Andrew. I tell you what, let's take a quick break here because I want to have that interview coming up in just a little bit with Josh Martinez. And Josh is a professional wrestler with DCW, and he's had a real setback in his career because of a neck injury. We're going to talk to him about his surgery, what his plans are for the future, and just talk to him. And I think you're going to be fascinated by what he says about why he went into professional wrestling and how much he loves professional wrestling. But before we do that, how about a little Christmas cheer for professional wrestling? All coming up.
Here's how obsessed I was with wrestling action figures when I was a kid. Not only did I look for any available opportunity to get new action figures and bring them into my little wrestling world in my bedroom, but every Christmas, I would go underneath the Christmas tree, and you know those little figures of Jesus and Mary and Joseph? Well, I would steal them and bring them into my bedroom and then launch this NWO biblical invasion on all of my regular wrestling action figures. And I'd be calling the action, too. I'd be like, Coco, beware, goes up to the top rope. Wait, good Lord Almighty, here comes the three wise men. Oh, my God. They're handing out gifts of gold, frankincense, and whoop-ass. Oh, oh, it's the Bethlehem Wrecking Crew. Folks, somebody just nailed the Deuteronomy driver. Later on in the evening, my dad would always come up to me and be like, hey, buddy, just want to ask you about this. Can you please tell me why baby Jesus is wearing the NWA heavyweight title? Well, to be honest with you, Dad, the reason baby Jesus is wearing the NWA title is because he's afraid to give Ric Flair a rematch. You know it, I know it, and the whole bedroom knows it, brother.
Hi, it's Dave again. I want to invite you to another podcast that I host. It's called Radio Guy Reflections, and it's on many of these same podcasting channels. What is Radio Guy Reflections? Well, it's about radio. I spent most of my adult life behind the microphone at different radio stations around the country, and I've met some really interesting people talk about their careers in radio. Right now, we're looking back at 2021. We talked to a husband and wife morning team in New Mexico. We talked to Jeff Katz, who's a talk show host in Virginia. Art Rascone, a TV anchor who's worked for the CBS Evening News, ABC News, and he's an award-winning journalist. So check out the best of 2021. We'll have several segments over the next couple of weeks, including talking about the death of Rush Limbaugh. No, we don't talk politics. We talk about his influence on modern-day radio. Radio Guy Reflections, check it out on many of these same podcasting channels.
Why are you watching wrestling?
They beat the crap out of each other.
It's great.
I bet it's all fake. Does that look fake to you?
Okay, it's nice to know something's real.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Welcome back, my friends, as Dave says, to the show that never ends. Does it ever end, Dave?
It never ends.
It never ends. And joining us today is one of the best heels I have seen live, and that is Bonesaw Will. That dude, you got to talk to us. How what's going on? How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Had neck surgery a week ago.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, they ended up replacing. They gave me a titanium disc in my C5 vertebrae, C5 C6 area. Mm-hmm. So I'm healing up from that. So it's going to be a minute, but thank you.
Wow.
Wow.
So, dude, what happened? I've been watching you. I've been watching you for the last several years. I mean, going back to your UCW days, and I got to give you a real quick compliment on how
You have put on some serious, serious muscle, dude.
I appreciate that, man. It's a lot of gym and watching what you eat mostly. That's all you got to do is stick with it. Wow. It sucked, but if you stick with it, it pays off.
So you got hurt. Tell us what happened. What's going on?
So I don't know exactly what caused the injury, when it happened. I'm guessing like 4 months ago I was running a drill, and all of a sudden I got like this tingling feeling in my legs and in my arms. Ooh. I was like, oh, that doesn't feel right. And did a couple of moves and got somebody in a headlock, and my legs just gave out. So finished up the drill, rolled out of the ring, started walking around, stretching out, and like, man, something doesn't feel right. So we do a show. I think it was our August show.
Yeah.
August or July show. And everything went fine. Match went good. And Sunday, the day after, I couldn't move my neck at all.
Oh my God.
It was like these little baby turns. And I had this really bad sharp pain in my left shoulder. So I was like, all right, I got to go see a doctor. Get in the doctor. He sent me to physical therapy. I was doing that for 3 months after. And the pain had gone away. And I was able to continue to work. But that numb, tingling feeling I had got worse. It was worse in my hands and my torso, especially, to the point where I would go to pick up a tool and I would drop it. Or I'd be walking and I'd fall because I couldn't find my legs. And if you go back and you watch my match with Brother Chatwin, where I unified the core belt and the Utah State
title,
you'll see a spot in that match where Brother Chatwin goes to shoot me off and I just fall and I hit the second rope because I couldn't find my legs. And then you go forward a month where I defended against Ray Coiza. And he goes to put me in a guillotine, and I fall again because I can't find my legs. So I go to the doctor, I get the MRI done, and he said I had the disc that they replaced was pressing so hard against my spinal cord that it was pressing on the nerve endings, too, that come out of your spinal cord.
Wow.
And this was 2 weeks ago, and they got me into surgery that same week, that same Friday. Last Friday, so 1 week. And wow. I was shocked. I didn't know it was that bad. But
so Richard Davidson, who's on our Facebook page, and he's a big fan of Devotion Championship Wrestling, he was the one that contacted me, and he said, you need to talk to Josh. You need to talk to Bonesaw. He's got an amazing story. Did you perform at the third anniversary show, or had you decided by that time you didn't want to do that because of your neck?
By that time, I decided it wasn't really up to me. It was the doctors said, if I keep doing this, that I could end up a quadriplegic.
Wow.
Until I have the surgery.
I missed that show. So I live in central Utah. So it's, I'm 2.5 hours from Salt Lake. And so sometimes it's a little bit difficult for me to make shows. But my boy, he loves to come to the show, and he loves the butcher shop, dude. So he thinks the butcher shop is the coolest thing in the world. But I noticed on Instagram, I said, Bonesaw, well, he doesn't have the title anymore. What's going on here? And, cause I was there when you won, the core championship, and you had two belts, and dude, what a hell of a match. I just don't know how you guys do it, can get in there. And I mean, I guess you're living proof that injuries and things can happen.
Oh, definitely. Manny always says that pro wrestling's for everybody, but it's not for everybody. And what I think he means like that is you have to have a certain mindset going into that ring. Always. You got to know that it's going to hurt. You risk getting hurt anytime you step between those ropes. And if you can't take care of your opponent, and your opponent can't take care of you, then you got no business being in there. That's why he pushes training so hard. That's why we train so hard. That's why we're always in the gym, or we're at the Al Snow Wrestling Academy out in Salt Lake. I mean, it takes a certain mindset to be willing to do this day in and day out.
Okay, one thing I just like what you said, and Dave, I want you to talk about this because we bring this up on the show all the time. Bonesaw just said you have to be willing to take care of your opponent.
Right.
He didn't say you have to go in there and make sure you're safe or make sure that you're doing executing moves safe. Well, expound on that a little bit, Dave, from your past, your plethora of knowledge and the things that you've seen over the years. And we've talked about this so much on the show.
Well, Bonesaw, over the years, you know, I'm the old man of this group. You know, I'm 64 years old, almost 65, and I've been watching wrestling since I was like in the fourth or fifth grade with Jerry the King Lawler. And I've seen many, many times where it looks like, you know, someone's doing a rope bump. Maybe they're jumping over the rope or using one of the ropes to do a move. And then something doesn't quite go right. And I think the one I can remember the most, I think it was Kevin Nash and Rey Mysterio. And Mysterio was jumping over the top rope, and Kevin Nash was on the floor. And Kevin saw that he was a little bit too far out and actually sprinted to catch his opponent. I mean, he took some very quick steps to make sure, I think it was Rey Mysterio, wouldn't fall on that that concrete floor and maybe risk serious injury. So we've always known that you guys can take a bump, but there's certain things that go on where if you don't trust your opponent to take care of you, how can they trust you to take care of them? And that it all comes from your training, doesn't it, Josh?
This is no secret. It's out there, but there's rehashing something that's been said 1,000 times. Wrestling is a violent ballet. You're working together. You're dancing with each other to put on this spectacle for the people outside the ring. And if your opponent, if you can't take care of your opponent, you can't take care of your dance partner, it's going to look bad and it's going to feel worse.
Yeah, you know, and I've seen some of that too, and I'm not going to name any names, but I've gone to a couple other. There was one in particular show that I went to in here in Utah, and I talked about it to Dave kind of off the record, and I said, the guys weren't in it tonight. You could tell something was wrong. Like, the moves were slow, the moves were sloppy. Talk about that for a second. What does it take to get in that mindset where, you know, if you have a bad day at the office or something, or if your things aren't going well at home or something, you have to put all that aside for, you know, 15, 20 minutes or whatever it is when you're in that ring with that opponent. Talk about the mental gymnastics of how do you guys deal with that?
I mean, everyone deals with it in their own way. My personal thing, I listen to music when I'm going, just depending on my mood, I put on certain songs and it gets me out of that headspace. You have to leave your real life issues at the door, always. So, I mean, when I'm behind the curtain, when I'm talking to you guys right now, I'm just Josh, right? I'm just a blue collar boy from Ogden, Utah. But when I hit that curtain, my music hits, I know, okay, I got to switch. There's that switch that you got to flip in your head, that when you hit that curtain, I am no longer Josh, that I am the Bonesaw William Cutting. I'm that mob boss from Utah that nobody wants to mess with. And I have to do that not only for myself. And this is where you kind of want to blur those lines between wrestling and reality. Because if I had a bad day, I'm still trying to take care of my opponent, but I'm also letting out my frustrations in that ring. You know what I mean? So it's kind of, it's therapeutic in that sense. And it helpes with that mental drive. Like, Bonesaw's always pissed off, right? He's always angry. He's always yelling about something. Well, now I have an actual reason to be mad. And now I can let all that frustration out in a promo or in a move or how I communicate with the crowd.
And you usually yelled at Josh Glade. I mean, face it, you yelled at him a lot. When you took away his doll, his baby Yoda, what was up with that, Bonesaw? Come on.
Hey, I gave him the doll as a reward for being good. You know, uh-huh. When a dog starts acting out of control. You got to put him in their kennel. And he was out of control, so I took away his doll, and that was him being put in his kennel.
That's awesome. excuse me just a second. I wanted to ask you a little bit about the performance aspect. Were you always interested in performing? Did you do any kind of acting or athletics while you were in high school or your early adult years that gave you that love of that performance? Because there is something about performing, no matter what you do, especially before a live audience, that is almost intoxicating. Did you find that the first time in the ring, or what happened?
Oh, definitely. So, like, in high school, I played soccer, I boxed a little bit, but I never performed as an art form.
Mm-hmm.
I did, like, one mandatory play in junior high. That was it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the athletic part of it kind of helped, but performing in front of a live audience is a whole different animal. And doing it for entertainment, like knowing what's going to happen and still wanting to go out there and put on a good show is unbelievable. And the high you get from it is amazing.
Wow, that's pretty cool. So when you talk, let's rewind. Let's go back to the beginning. When did you decide, like, and what made you decide to say, hey, you know, I want to get into professional wrestling? Were you a wrestling fan in high school or as a kid? I'll sidestep for a second and say, I watched wrestling a little bit as a kid, but when I got into pro wrestling, the big time was during the Monday Night Wars. You know, I was a little bit older, I guess you'd say. I was in junior high. I was in, you know, and I really got into the Monday Night Wars and, you know, Sting coming down to the rafters. So what about you? Tell us, when did you start enjoying pro wrestling, and when did you start deciding you wanted to get into the ring?
I decided at a young age that that's what I wanted to do. You know, little kids want to be firefighters or ninjas. The first match I ever watched was Undertaker versus Undertaker when they did the DiBiase versus Paul Bearer bit. I remember watching that as a little kid and my mind being blown. Like, oh my God, there's two of them? How is there two of them? And, you know, as a little kid, you don't pay attention to little details, so you're just astounded that these two guys that look kind of alike are in the ring. And they're going blow for blow with each other. It blew my mind. And I watched that on a Coliseum home video, VHS that my grandma had. And from that moment on, I was hooked.
When you first got into the ring, your first time in front of an audience, what was that experience like, knowing that you either are going to have the crowd boo you or cheer you? What was that experience like, and how did you deal with that? And after coming back out of the ring and you go through those curtains to the back, what was that feeling like?
Euphoric. the after part was definitely euphoric, but going in, it was sheer panic.
Uh-huh.
It was, am I ready for this? Are they going to boo me? Are they going to like me? Like, how do I do this as a good guy? How do I do this as a bad guy? There were 1,000 thoughts going through my head 10 seconds at a time. And I was like, I got 2 minutes in this ring and then I'm out. Just survive those 2 minutes. And the minute those 2 minutes hit and I hit that back curtain again, I felt euphoric.
You know, I've always been a pro wrestling fan, but I never, ever had the opportunity to, I've always lived so far away from Salt Lake and things that it's always been difficult. I've never had the opportunity to step into the ring. And I don't know, but maybe you could talk about it for a second, the difference between just being a fan and being also a performer. So when did you know that you wanted to take that step from just a fan to actually getting inside the ring?
Ooh, that's a good question. Like I said, when I was a little kid, I always wanted to do it. And I appreciated, you know, what these guys did, what people do when they get in those ropes. But the first time I ran into like a local show, and I saw what these guys did, and they find out they have it. That's when I was like, this is something I want to do. This is something I can do. And I want to give the fans something that they can appreciate. There was a moment where I was just like, I'm done sitting on the sidelines. I want to be what in there with them. I want to do what they are doing. And I can't pinpoint an exact time. It was just something that I loved, and I loved watching, and now that I'm doing it, love doing.
So how long have you been wrestling and doing this?
So I started trying, when you saw me at UC, this was about 5-6 years ago.
Yeah, yep.
And I was 220 pounds on a 5'5" frame. I was pre-diabetic. I went to a house show and I was like, you know what? I'm going to really get this in the gear. Because I couldn't take care of myself and I couldn't take care of my opponent. So I took some time. I took 2 years off and I got into shape. I lost a whole bunch of weight. I made sure my blood sugar levels were good. And I just decided, you know, this is, then Manny opened the school. Wow. About 3 years total, I've been training, but it took me 5 years altogether to get to where I am today.
Wow.
So with Manny opening up his school, and we got to congratulate him once again. He has really worked hard to put Utah wrestling on the map over the last 3 years, and what a great guy he is. And he just had that third anniversary show. But there's also been the opportunity for you as a performer to learn from some of the people that have been brought in, from Sim Bodie to the Good Brothers last weekend, to Vince Russo, Al Snow. That has to be really impressive and almost intimidating at times to learn from these people that have done so well in the ring.
Oh, definitely. You don't want to freak out in front of these guys. You want to do your best, but you also don't want to do too much. Mm-hmm. So the best policy, like when you meet these people, is mouth shut and ears open, because they're so knowledgeable. I mean, the whole gimmick came from Vince Russo after he heard me cut one promo.
Oh, wow.
And he's like, I cut the promo. Russo tells me, you know what? That was probably the best promo I've heard in the past 6 months.
Wow.
And the way you your delivery, everything was on point. And then he pulls me aside. He's like, you know who you kind of remind me of? I said, what? He's like, Joe Pesci. You know who Joe Pesci is? I was like, yeah, I know who Joe Pesci is. He's like, so this is what we're going to do with your gimmick, because what you did reminded me of him in Goodfellas.
That's true.
And me just listening to what he said when he was talking and teaching us went from, I have no idea what I'm doing as the psychopath, to, okay, now I have direction. Now I know what to do. Wow. And that's all you got to do. And learning from these guys is amazing. Al Snow, the Good Brothers. I mean, you see a version of them on TV. And the best part of that is you're seeing a fraction of what it's like to be them. What they do in real life is very much how they are in person. Even Sin Bodie, he's the warlord of weird, right? Mm-hmm. He cracks weird jokes, and but he's a good person, and he's willing to take that time to teach you and to have you learn from him.
Because I was going to ask you where the bone saw and the butcher shop came from, so maybe you could expand on that a little bit and tell us how you've worked into this current role that you're in, because it's pretty cool. You carry yourself really well, and you carry your group really well, and you've got a pretty good faction.
I appreciate that. So the Bonesaw name actually started with Big Vig. Just as kind of I didn't have a character. I didn't have anything. I didn't have a gimmick. I was just gonna be this weird freak show performer. And he's like, you know what? No, you gotta look to you. I'm gonna call you, and he started calling me Bonesaw. And it kind of stuck. And so the butcher shop was Vig's idea too. And he's like, this is what I want you to do. I'm going to have you and one other guy. We're going to be the butcher shop. I'm going to be with you at ringside. So that way I can kind of direct you in your matches and help you there. And I said, okay, cool. And then, so when he left, I was like, you know what? The butcher shop was a great idea. That idea of having a veteran out there with two up-and-comers and basically them just getting told each move to do was such a good idea for up-and-coming talent, for anybody who got paired with them, that I'm just going to run with it. Plus, the name was badass. The William Cutting thing was just something that Vig said, I want it to be like those 1920s, 1930s gangsters. Mm-hmm. So I started doing research, and I came across, you know, the Gangs of New York, which is where I got the William Cutting. And I watched, God, all those gangster movies probably 100 times by now. just to get in that mindset, like, okay, this is how this guy moves. This is, so Russo wants me to look like, as I look like Joe Pesci in Goodfellas, so this is how he acts. He's short-tempered, he's quick-witted, he's angry, he goes from 0 to 100, okay, let's do that. And you just kind of incorporate it, and you kind of make it your own. So that's where all that came from.
Well, you were probably hoping that Marissa Tomei would show up anytime so you could get next to her like in My Cousin Vinny, right? I got to admit.
Oh, you know it.
I hear that, brother. Well, I know, you know, you're just fresh off the surgery, and I know it had to be a shock to you. And, you know, we know that we wish you the best, but when the doctor told you that you were going to have this surgery, and I hope this doesn't get too personal, Josh, because, you know, I had the surgery myself, basically in the same area. It is something that is kind of scary. And how did you deal with that? Your family, your friends, how did they react when you told them that you were going to have this very serious surgery?
My reaction at first was shock and disbelief. I didn't know what to do. I mean, you work so hard for something for so long. I was living on my childhood dream, and all of a sudden in 3 short years, it was taken away for God knows how long. And I broke down a little bit. I told my mom, I told my family, and they're very meticulous when it comes to stuff like this. Mm-hmm. So I had people, my cousins were looking up like the top rated neck surgeons in Utah and who was under my insurance. And my mom was making phone calls and preparations, and my grandma was making preparations, and everywhere, like, we came together as a family, and they've helped me a lot this past week. As far as telling all my friends and all the people at Devotion, it was hard because I tried to keep it under wraps because I was like, I don't know what's going to go on, what's happening, so I don't want them to freak out. And so I told Manny, I told So Well, and I was like, and they were upset that it happened because I've been a staple. I'm going to toot my own horn here, but I've been a staple of Devotion for a while. Mm-hmm. And I mean, since day one, and all of a sudden I'm not going to be there as often. And I'm not going to be able to get in the ring and help like I was helping. They were shocked by it, but they checked up on me, and they've been good brothers about that.
So let's talk for a second about Devotion Championship Wrestling. You've been there since the very beginning. What's it like? What has it been like riding that getting on that train, man? I mean, they have gone from a little tiny, you know, a couple of guys who used to little ragtag guys from this promotion, from that promotion, all come together, and to where they are literally one of the number one promotions in the Western United States. I mean, that's pretty cool.
Oh yeah, it's been a wild ride, because when I first started, everyone everyone in Utah wrestling said that company isn't going to last 3 months. They gave us 3 months, and here we are 3 years later. It's, I mean, not only has Manny built this small little kingdom here in Utah for us, which we owe him a lot. As wrestlers in Utah, I believe that Manny is owed the utmost respect more than anybody in this state because of what he's done. You can't knock the man's hustle. Mm-hmm. I mean, he packed up and moved to Georgia so he could be better and make those connections for us. It's just crazy. It's crazy.
That is so cool.
So, once again, we'll get back to the medical situation here, if you don't mind. I know you're early into this healing process, but you've got to look at some of the other performers, big name performers like Bryan Danielson, Edge, have all gone through the same type of surgery and recovery. What are your doctors telling you this early in your recovery process?
They say because I'm young, if I'm lucky, 6 months to a year.
Oh, good.
Before I can compete again. However, it could take more time than that. It just depends on my body and how I handle the physical therapy that they're going to have me start doing, and mm-hmm. how much I keep at it and how bad I want it.
And you want it bad, right?
Oh, more than anything in the world, man.
So, Josh, are you still going to stay involved with Devotion, or are we still going to see you at live events, or are you going to take some time off, or tell us a little bit about the future? I know some of it's unknown, but tell us a little bit about what you do know for the future.
As of right now, I'm helping where I can. Obviously, we got a show coming up January 15th. There's a cheap plug for you.
Okay.
I love it.
I fully intend to be at least at the show, helping out with the ring, helping out with getting talent ready, helping out in the gorilla position, helping our cameraman out wherever I can. It's hard mentally. It's hard to see people doing what you love to do.
Right.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
You want to be in there, and as a competitor, as an athlete, every part of me screaming, get back in the ring. But at the same time, the more logical side of my mind is saying, don't rush it.
No, so, don't rush it. Please don't rush it.
You will definitely still see me at shows. You'll definitely still see me around.
Well, several years ago, the Super Destroyer, the late Super Destroyer, passed away from COVID-19 last year. I was talking to him at Comic-Con in Salt Lake City. And we had developed a friendship over the years. And he talked about when he broke his neck, and that was a in-ring thing that did happen. But he continued on, and then he got that clearance to get back in the ring. So a story like that has really got to make you feel better about your situation that you're in. And I know that if you do what the doctors tell you to do and don't overdo it, I think, you know, being young will really help you out, and I look forward to seeing you again soon.
Yeah, hopefully I'll be able to be back soon.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I wanted to talk to you real quick about, you know, you were talking about the kid being a young kid enjoying professional wrestling. You know, I've had the opportunity to go with my boy. He's 8 years old, and he eats that stuff up. He just loves it. And you know, I gotta tell you guys a quick story because you'll get a kick out of this. He's got a friend that's a wrestler, you know, or well, you know, and so my boy he says his little friend's name is Traeger. He's like, yeah, Traeger's dad. Traeger doesn't really like to wrestle, but Traeger's dad makes him wrestle. And he's like, I don't know why he likes that fake wrestling. I'm like, what do you mean? And he's like, I don't get it. All they do is like roll around on the mat and stuff. There's no steel chairs. Nobody's taking any DDTs. I don't get it.
Oh, that is so awesome.
He's like, that stuff's so fake. And I'm like, yes, that's my boy.
Oh, he's such a great kid.
And I said, yes, son, you're right. I said, what you need to do next time you see old little Traeger, I said, is smash him in the head with a steel chair and say, you know, that's what real wrestling is all about. So there you have it. 8 years old, and he says that's fake. I don't get what they do. But I've got my kid signed up for. We're going to come up to Salt Lake, and he's going to go to the Devotion Kids camp in a couple weeks. Awesome. So I'm really excited for that to get that. And, I've just really enjoyed taking him to those events. And we watch WWE together. We watch AEW together. He sometimes before we go to bed, we turn on the TNA channel and just watch old TNA matches. And, you know, I just think that that's really neat. Dave's always complimented me on it. And I just love to get to see the kids involved and the kids cheering and the kids, in your case, booing. I just wanted to make that comment and see what you thought about that.
About your kid hitting another kid with a steel chair, I'm all for it. I'm not sure if you guys remember that you used to have that inflatable bounce house out in Salt Lake called Some Dude's Playground. Did you ever go there?
I used to have a little foam wrestling ring.
You remember the foam wrestling ring where they had foam?
I just remember hearing that. I just remember the Some Dude's Playground. I remember hearing the advertisements for it.
Oh, yeah. So my mom took me there when I was a little kid, and we got there, and the first thing I see was like this foam wrestling ring. It's got like the big rolled up foam trash cans and foam chairs. And I didn't want to go on anything else. I just wanted to, like, just leave me here and come back in 2 hours and get me because this is where I'm staying.
That's so awesome. But wow.
That's what that reminded me of. Because, I mean, if you're a kid and you want to get into it, the kids camp's going to be awesome for your son. So I hope he enjoys it. Manny's going to be there, Rekka, everyone. So you'll have some of the greatest coaches that I've ever had.
Wow, cool.
Well, I was just going to once again wish you the best in your recovery process. It's an injury. It's something that you'll still find ways to be involved, and I'm sure that with the family support, your friends and family support from the DCW and other professional wrestlers, and I'm just excited to see how your recovery comes. And you know, just from someone who's been there and just was released yesterday from his injury and his surgery, I just wanted to personally wish you the best, man. I really do.
I appreciate that, sir.
Well, and I want to say, I would like to sentiment what Dave says. You know, I mean, it's so strange in life. Dave's dealt with personal situations. I've dealt with personal situations. And, you know, I mean, I recently lost my job and didn't have any idea what to do. And it's just interesting how things in your life, you think that like it's so easy to get down and depressed. And, you know, for 2 days I sulked around and went, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? You know, and I thought, you know, well, everybody keeps saying start your own business. And so it's like, and now all of a sudden I'm busy. And it's like, my point is it's so easy to get down and so easy to wonder what is going to happen in my life, but we always seem to figure out a way to recover from it and to be better after what happens to us. And I think, and I know that that's what's going to happen to you is this is a little hiccup, but we're not going to see the last of Bone Cell Will.
Right.
I am so glad that you're feeling better, and I'm so glad that you're doing well, and I can't wait to see you at the next live event.
Yeah, I can't wait to be back. I appreciate it, you guys. It really does mean a lot. But if you got something that you want, you really, really want it, you're always gonna find a way. You will always find a way. And even if I can't get back in the ring as a competitor, my mouth still works. So maybe you'll see me as a manager. Maybe you'll see me on commentary. You never know. But I will do whatever it takes to definitely hop back between those ropes and put on a hell of a show for you guys.
Well, you know, Trent Hunsaker is a friend of ours who does all the filming and your commentary for your show. You know, he's not in the ring, but, man, he's involved, and, you know, he does a great job for you guys too. So.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to Trent, because that man is a god amongst men.
He is, isn't he?
He takes care of everything by himself, all of his own equipment, and the post-production's all him. And he's amazing.
He's the dude, so. Well, Zane, anything else?
Well, gosh, you know, I've really enjoyed talking to Bonesa, and of course, I always enjoy talking to you, Dave.
Oh, of course, but, wouldn't you?
I am self-employed now, so some of us have to make a living. So I have to get going back to work.
I'm retired, so I don't have to.
Oh. But, so, well, thank you, guys. I'm going to sign off, and I just am so glad that you took the time out of your day, and I hope this holiday season treats you well, Bonesaw, and as you well, you too, Dave.
Thank you very much, Zane. And you keep that kid.
Care.
Yeah, and give him a trash can lid this year or something. So
I will. Okay. I will. So I'll, thanks, guys. I'm signing off.
All right. Thank
Have
you.
A good day. See ya.
Well, Josh, once again, I want you to know that we're behind you 100% at Turnbuckle Trash, and we're going to wish you want more than 100% recovery. And please keep us up to date with how you're doing, okay?
I will. Thank you very much, Dave.
All right.
What are you doing?
I'm trying to get ready for Christmas.
Well, the tree was supposed to be trimmed a long time ago.
It just got here.
I don't have stars. I don't even have any balls.
Ho, ho, ho!
With that is not a fair fight. That's a bad example to kids worldwide.
Look out!
No, don't do it.
It's Christmas. It is. Hit it one more time.
For sure.
The rattlesnake is crashed. Mr. McMahon party.
My joke man. Yeah.
Five.
My joke man.
Randy Savage.
Hot dog.
Santa Claus?
Kid, you say he's a real Santa Claus or not?
I'm trying to get ready
for
Christmas.
Why don't you just sit down?
I can't. There's a tree in my chair.
Santa, straight from the bottom of Stone Cold's heart, I got a little Christmas present for you myself.
Well, if you believe in Santa Claus, then believe this, my friend.
Wait a minute!
Great!
Merry Christmas!
The $1 billion man has bought Santa!
Well, it's Christmas time in Chicago. Oh, it's Christmas Day. I can't imagine a better place to spend my holiday. Take it away, John. You feeling good?
So have yourself a merry little.
St. Nick.
I'm Impact Wrestling World Tag Team Champion, the Big LG Doc Gallows, and you're listening to the Turnbuckle Trash Podcast.
Well, here we are again. We want to thank Zane O'Mac for joining us with that interview with the Bonesaw Josh Martinez. And once again, Josh, we wish you the best. His promo work is fantastic. I mean, it really is for that character he's playing, kind of like a Joe Pesci, as he talked about in the interview. So we wish you the best, man, and you know, keep us informed about how your recovery is coming, and we hope to see you soon back in the ring. So we've had some controversies in professional wrestling, which seems like all the time. But before we get into one of the big controversies, let's talk about something that's actually kind of sad, if you ask me, because I've always been a fan of Ring of Honor. And they had their final battle, and now Ring of Honor has kind of shut down things. They say until at least April, but I will be surprised if Ring of Honor comes back in its present form. But Final Battle evidently was incredible. I thought I was going to try to watch it, and then I just couldn't afford to make the payment for the pay-per-view. But anyway, with the final situation going on, the one thing that I got to comment, Tony Khan let a lot of the wrestlers in AEW either go back or tape video vignettes that played during the pay-per-view. Jay Lethal went back and took on Jonathan Grisham. It was just a nice thing to do to help out a fellow promotion. And then the good thing, FTR attacks Dem Boys.
Oh, that was awesome. Oh, that was so good.
Yeah.
And then the rebuttal that Dem Boys did another video. And I mean, the only thing with Dem Boys is they're outspoken.
Yes, they are.
They have no filter.
Yeah.
They have no filter whatsoever. But you know what? I'm going to be so happy to see the Briscoes in AEW. It's good. And plus with FTR, that's going to be a heck of a barn burner. That's going to be back and forth. And let's see what goes on. But I'm real sad to see Ring of Honor, you know, go by the wayside. It's been shown that they're, you know, the ratings and everything have not been what it ever has, and it's time.
Yeah, it could
be time.
But
it's a good thing for the other wrestlers to branch out and go someplace else.
Well, you know, the ratings are everything in this business, yep. Especially because if you have a TV contract, and Ring of Honor was a TV contract with Sinclair Broadcasting, mm-hmm. which owned a Ring of Honor at this time. But if it's not bringing in money, that's, you know, that's what you got to do. If advertising dollars, that's just a fact of life. AEW, their ratings have slipped just a little bit. A lot of people trying to read into that, but they're getting ready to move Dynamite to TBS after the first year. I think that will help because not only you know, you'll have more consistency with less conflicts with the sports coverage on TNT, but you actually have a bigger audience because more homes have TBS than do TNT. So that gives them an advertising advantage there. But going back to Ring of Honor and the Briscoes against FTR, I'm hoping they do this with AEW. But there's still that possibility that it might be something done in the AAA promotion because FTR owns that tag team title. So it might be something that instead of All Elite, that it might go to AAA, which would be fine. I would just like to see those teams go at it because they're both very entertaining and just a lot of fun. But fingers crossed, I want AEW. I love the Briscoes, even though, like you said, they're outspoken and they have some of the social media warriors on them for some comments that were made. I think it was in 2013. Some people say that it was a work, that they were promoting an event. But other people say this is who they are. But I'm not going to get into what they said because that's not important. The thing is that there is some controversy out there.
Well, controversy creates cash. And as somebody would say before, controversy creates cash. That's why he's not in the business anymore. But the thing of it is that FTR and Dem Boys would make a heck of a – now, I agree with you that it'll probably go to AAA. I mean, they're still the tag team champions of Ring of Honor, and they're still the tag team champions of what is that promotion? CW something.
Oh, Combat Zone Wrestling.
Okay, they are the champions of there, and that's fine. I would love to see an intertwine, but this is going to get interesting. Will Ring of Honor survive and keep going? Sincerely, I doubt it.
Yeah.
I really do. I doubt it. But it was real nice to see another person show up in Ring of Honor that was absolutely, he is ripped.
Uh-huh.
And that was Braun Strowman.
Uh-huh.
And he didn't even look the same. I couldn't believe what I was looking at.
Yeah, he's really not just lost a little bit of weight, but he's really sculpting his body. I mean,
yes, he is.
He's now looking like a bodybuilder.
That's when he was getting bullied a lot online and in the WWE, that he was too fat. So he said, okay, watch this. And he, I'm sorry, but if I saw him walking down the sidewalk, I'd go to the other side of the street. No, thank you.
Too.
No, thank you.
But I'm wondering, you know, I know he's doing a lot of independent shows right now, but you think that's the way he's going to continue, or will he sign with someone like Impact, or maybe sign with AEW a little bit? I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't think he really wants to do anything like that right now. I think he wants to stay independent and, you know, go here, go there, maybe doing some signing. You never know. Maybe DCW will say, hey, can you come over here for... Wouldn't you love to see him go to DCW?
Yeah. Well, hey, speaking of DCW, real quick, when they did their third anniversary show a couple weeks ago, the Good Brothers came in, Carl Anderson and also Doc Gallows. They came in to do a seminar, and they were there on Friday and Saturday doing special events all over Salt Lake City. And now Manny Lemons is doing a vlog, a video blog on his YouTube channel. And also the Good Brothers have one. And, you know, you need to watch both of them because it's kind of interesting. They go to the Good Brothers vlog, our vlog, and they're doing video of them coming into Salt Lake City. And Carl Anderson evidently had never been to Salt Lake City. And it is a beautiful, beautiful town with all the mountains in the background. And Carl Anderson really loving that. And then on Manny Lemon's second vlog that he did, he was driving from Atlanta, Georgia, to Salt Lake City where he lives to get ready for the holidays. And he gets stuck in Wyoming during a really bad snowstorm. And he comes into Salt Lake and sees the snow everywhere and the slick driving conditions. He says, hey, Machine Gun, you might want to rethink about living in Wyoming or Salt Lake because it gets nasty sometimes with the road conditions during the winter. So, but really, both of them, you look up Doc Gallows, Carl Anderson, the Good Brothers, on YouTube, and also Manny Lemons. He's only had, this is his second vlog, and they're both very entertaining, so our hats off to them. But they had a great show for their third anniversary. So Chris, there's also a big controversy going on in the world of professional wrestling right now involving a wrestler named Hannibal.
And oh, Lord.
He goes to an event and goes off the rails. And the story goes like this, that he was doing a in-ring work and he was wearing a mask, and he was going up against Carlito. Who people will know. And Carlito, according to Hannibal, didn't want to be bleeding. He didn't want to do the blade job. So there was supposed to be a spot where Hannibal attacked the referee and made him bleed. But he went way overboard. And he might be facing some serious, serious charges because he almost killed this man. He honestly...
He took a spike and he drove it in four times into the referee's head. I've seen the pictures of the referee's head, and it looked like he went through a cheese grater. A lot of people said that Hannibal went into business for himself. The owner of the company, of the wrestling company, has made a statement, which I'm going to go try to find today. And from what I can gather, he's never going to be with this company ever again. And Jim Cornette made a comment about it. And also Hannibal has made comments. I didn't go into business for myself. This is what happened. This is my side of the story. Dude, you were drunk off your butt. And you were high, and you were on some kind of pill that made you do this. You went Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah.
And there was blood everywhere, and people are screaming. You can hear kids in the background screaming. Why would you do this? And you have just scarred a whole bunch of people. I don't know if they'll ever even get their fans back ever again.
Yeah, and Hannibal says that, you know, this promotion that it was trying to work for, he's helped them out in the past, and they only do a couple events a year, and that they owed him money from the last event. But that doesn't excuse what happened. Nothing excuses. There's got to be a point in your head when you're saying, you know what, this is going too far. And that, in my opinion, it more than definitely went too far, and I hope that there can be some kind of civil resolution to it, whether he has to pay a lot of money to this referee or the promotion, or whether possible jail time. That's as serious as it can be. The police are investigating, and there's going to be repercussions for his actions. And I just hope they can do it. Go ahead.
Did Carlito get cut up? I didn't see that part of it.
Carlito, I was just reading about it a few minutes ago, and Hannibal says that originally the idea was that Carlito was going to get bladed, and he was going to have the crimson mask, and he didn't want to do that. And then they agreed to do something with the referee. That was part of the script. And the referee, whatever they were trying to do, wasn't working, so he wasn't getting blood. And that's when Hannibal
went into business for himself.
And it's a shame. Once again, real life coming into professional wrestling. And sometimes, emotions can take the better of you, but when you let that happen, there are consequences to your actions, and I don't know what those consequences will be, but they could be very, very serious for Hannibal.
Oh, I'm sure there will be, and I hope that he does get arrested, or he gets fined, or the referee sues him for every dime that he has. That'll probably be one comic book for him. But other than that, I hope that he never wrestles ever again, because there's no look, you can get bladed and, have the crimson mask, but, going that far to, almost take somebody's life for so little for that, no. You deserve what you get, dude. I hope they throw the book at you. I really do.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's serious. And you said Jim Cornette made a comment about it on his podcast. I know you listen to that all the time, so.
Let's just say this. If I put it on the Facebook page, every last word would probably bleeped out, because he went above and beyond like Jim does. Every word comes out was every other thing that you don't want to hear. But Jim said that was uncalled for. He didn't need to do this. Why would you want to risk your life and your career for something like that? That was stupid. And he hopes he is boiled in oil and his fat is sold for soap. Mm. So.
Well, when you talk about comments like that, and you said Facebook, every other word, I got to tell you what happened with me and Tombstone Jesus. This is pretty funny. Another wrestler, I'm not sure where he's from, but evidently not from this country, that has taken up doing a Twitter war or Facebook war with Tombstone. And I'm a Tombstoner now. I'm a big fan of Tombstone. Tombstone says, let's set up this fight somewhere. Let's get it on, between the two wrestlers. And I was reading all these comments, and I put it on to Tombstone, and I said, sounds like this guy needs a good butt whooping.
Uh-huh.
Butt whooping. And it got flagged by Facebook?
Oh, yeah.
It got flagged by Facebook because I said butt whooping. And then they, excuse me, I'm going to get on my soapbox here. Facebook lets everybody use the F-bomb, calling people MFers, everything in the book that should be offensive. Mm-hmm. And then they flag butt whooping. So somebody at Facebook, if they see me, they might just get themselves a butt whooping,
Well, I put something on Facebook one time that and this was the true word to this woman, because she was being what she was being.
Uh-huh.
I got a 30-day reprimand or whatever. I was in jail, but I disputed it and said, you'll allow people to, bully others on this page, but yet one little word and you flag me. So what's the deal? And then I started finding things and I flagged other people. But, I'm tired of Facebook. I really am.
Yeah.
I think I need to make my own Facebook page or a Facebook site, and I'll just say, whatever you guys do, what you want, I don't care, just don't fight. But we can't get over the it's never going to stop. Never stop.
I was just going to say, that's the bad side of Facebook. The good side is when you get to see something nice from somebody, some kind of event that goes on. I got a lot of comments from when my sister came to visit this week. We haven't seen her in two to three years. and my niece came up.
That was beautiful pictures.
And then when you know, you see other people that are celebrating things during the holidays with their family, that to me is what I enjoy about Facebook. And you'll excuse me if I skip or even ignore the other parts, because there's parts that come on Facebook that I just will not participate in. A lot of it has to do with politics. And then when I see somebody using that F-bomb, I just, it's a word. I know it's just a word, and it's a very pretty common word now, but it's so harsh and what it means. And I it's just something that I don't think we need. Words mean things, and words can hurt. And I'm not telling you not to use it. What I'm going to tell you is that I will ignore it. And there could be a time, and I have done this on a couple of pages I was on, when they just used it too much, and I just said, boom, you're out of here, and dropped them.
Oh, yeah.
So,
well, you did that to the Real Wrestling Real Wrestling fans, and I mean, I know you dropped them like a hot knife through butter, so I don't blame you. I mean, it's ridiculous the way social media is, and people take things too way too serious. And I mean, look, guys, it's wrestling, and we're just trying to give you our opinion. And if you don't like our opinion, all you have to do is hit that delete button and go find somebody else that wants to talk about it.
And I encourage them. I encourage them.
I do too.
You know, if you don't like what we're saying or what we're doing, don't listen. You know, it does. It's not. It's no skin off my back, brother. You know, but I will respect an opinion as long as it's not filthy, dirty. It's not name calling. Or it's respectful. I try to respect everybody's opinion. But I think that's one thing.
Yeah.
That's one thing that our present society has forgotten about, and that's the song by Aretha Franklin, "Respect." Give me a little bit of R-A-S-P-E-C-T. Find out what it means to me. Sock it to me. So you know that's my rant about social media. But we're getting ready for 2022, Chris, and I think we're going to have one more show where we're going to talk about some of the events of the year. We'll do that sometime during the Christmas holiday, right before the beginning of the year. And then on that, we're going to have that big blooper reel, you know, the butt fumble reel.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be part of our next podcast, and that's always a lot of fun.
Well, like I was just about to say, you know, you told me that our podcast is being, you know, the numbers have gone up for people listening to us, and it's really good. How long have we been doing this now?
Oh, I've been doing this now for almost 8 years, and you've been on this for about 5 years.
So in 8 years, I mean, you went from this little thing to now a lot of people are actually, you know, they do listen, and they're starting to like what we say, and they like what we're doing. And I hope that it continues that way. AEW is that you said AEW was, you know, subscribed, I believe, right?
Yeah,
they were listening to us. I mean, Jericho, retire, please. No, Chuck.
No.
Do we have an update on Jericho?
Yeah, he's well now. He over in Europe with Fozzy. Something happened there, and there hasn't been any real talk about what happened, but he was put in the hospital for at least a day or two. The band said non-COVID related, so that is some good news there. But he is back, and I don't know when he's going to be back on the show yet, because they did a tour over in Europe. I'm sure he'll be coming back for the holidays, and he'll probably show up on AEW real soon. So it's the most wonderful time of the year, you know, as they used to say in WCW, season's beatings.
Yes, yes, season's beatings. NXT is taking off pretty well. They did their stuff. They're doing real well right now. I'm waiting to see the championship match. I want to see that so badly. I just want to know, are they going to pull the trigger? Is Tommaso Ciampa going to lose the title? I'm thinking he probably will or probably won't. I don't know if they'll pull the trigger yet.
Is that Braun Breaker? I mean, he's a Steiner. You know, he's a Rick Steiner.
Robert
Steiner's son. Is he an up and coming star? Oh, this guy is. I mean, I'm surprised they didn't pull the trigger on him sooner to be up into the NXT main locker room. Excuse me, NXT 2.0, no longer mm-hmm. with Beth Phoenix. She is no longer on the commentating team. But yeah. NXT 2.0 really kind of slipped a little bit from just NXT. But I think they might be finding their ground. And why did it slip? Because they tried to make changes too quick. I mean, it was like all of a sudden you knew all these people that were wrestling, and then they're gone, and they're bringing in, you know, probably 15 to 20 new guys within 2 weeks. And it was, you didn't have that connection with them. You were going, you know, who cares about this guy with the big C and doing the university. And then you get the guy that does the social media, the woke crowd, and you're going, but as the weeks progress and they develop the character more, it has improved. But this Bron Breakker, holy moly, this guy, he won't stay in NXT long. He'll be there he'll be on the main roster within a year. And he's even been said he would love to get in the ring with Brock Lesnar. You know, so that would be a war.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be a very interesting. And I mean, I would love to see Daddy come out of the curtain and be like a manager to him, but you know, it's never going to happen.
Well, he was supposed to be in an event. I don't know if they had any plans to put him on the screen. He was supposed to be at their last War Games, I think it was, that I read that. And then for some reason he couldn't make it. I don't know whether they're going to let him come out to the crowd and say hi, or whether he would be a manager, which that would be a great role for him to be his manager.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just really impressed with him. And they have a couple of younger talents that I'm still kind of scratching my head on yet. This Gacy character, I don't like it at all, just because I don't mind the character himself, but I just don't think he was the right choice for the character. He can go in the ring, seen him a couple of times, and then the Diamond Mine's pretty good, although they had to add members right away because one of the Diamond Mine got cut by the WCW front office. And so even though 2.0 has improved, it's still not as good as the Black and Gold NXT. And I just don't know when it's going to be. Matter of fact, there was people, WWE evidently on social media was saying, what could they do to fix NXT? And most people saying, go back and get some of these other guys and let them build up these new characters, which they have just dropped the ball on. But War Games itself was really, really good. It was a lot of fun.
And well, the last thing we saw was the goodbye to Johnny Gargano, Gargano, whatever. And that was good, but he's not, I mean, is he going to come back? I mean, I've heard two things. I've heard that he's gone to go be a father and going to come back. And then I've heard that his contract is done. He has not renewed. So we really don't know. Could he be one of the big surprises one day? He comes back, or is he going to go to the main roster, which he don't need to?
No, he's already said at times that he wasn't, he didn't really want to go to the main roster because what's happened to others that have been buried up there. But he is, you know, he's getting ready to be a father, and his contract evidently is up. So it's kind of up in the air. And Johnny Wrestling, man, you know, whatever you decide, you've provided a lot of entertainment for a lot of people. And I don't think he's done yet, but whether he'll be back with WWE is still to be seen, man.
Well, that's basically everything you can do. And I really enjoyed his wrestling. I hope he does come back. And if he goes to AEW, that'll be great. And if he decides he wants to go someplace else, perfect. Go there. There's a lot of places you can go to and still make money. I mean, good Lord, it doesn't have to go to just the two brands. Go someplace else. Hone your craft. Yeah. Learn a new move, something.
Yeah.
Or and, like when someone else said, how can I miss you if you don't go away?
You know, and then once again, this is a business. Mm-hmm. And you got to make money. And if you're not making money one place, go someplace else. Change your gimmick or find another job. Because, you know, as much as we love professional wrestling and we like to think that these guys are doing it out of the kindness of their heart, No.
Your love gives me such a thrill. But your love won't pay my bills. I want money.
They're getting it because they want that big contract. They want to be able to buy a house in Hollywood, and sell that house, then move to Texas, and then in 1 year move back to California. Thank you, Miz, for doing that, by the way. And that's, you know, that's what they want. They, you know, and you got to support your family, you got to support yourself. And these guys are independent contractors, especially in the WWE, so they got to make enough money to get insurance, pay their bills, pay their own travel, and you know, it's not a lifestyle that I would enjoy, but a lot of people would, and a lot of people do. And my hat's off to them.
Yeah, I my hat's off to them as well. Plus my hair. I mean, it's really bad when these guys, they have to pay for their own insurance, everything like that. They, and what they said back in the day, what wrestlers always say, save your money. Cause this can't last forever. Your body can only take so much punishment. So, but no, these guys are doing well. The wrestling industry is okay for right now, but we could use a little bit more tweaking. Let's have some better storylines. But I say that AEW is doing okay. The storyline between Britt Baker and Tony Schiavone, and I think that is funny as all get out.
With Adam Page getting involved now.
Adam Page is now getting involved. I think that is so funny. They're going to have a Britt Baker on a pole match, whoever wins, between Tony Schiavone and Adam Cole.
That's cool.
So
that's cool.
I'll jump in the middle of that ring real quick and knock both of them out. So.
Yeah, you would, wouldn't you?
Well, yeah.
Well, Chris, I think it's about time to wrap this thing up and and wish everyone a happy holidays, a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. I say Merry Christmas because I want to wish everyone the best. If you're offended by the words Merry Christmas, look inward and say, this is someone's wishing me the best. And you can say to me, I wish you the best, or you can say Happy Hanukkah, which you know, our cousin's wife. Your uncle's wife is Jewish, and I love her to death, and I wish her a happy Hanukkah. But my way to wish everyone the best is by saying Merry Christmas, and I know you do too.
Yes. I wish everyone a Merry Christmas and a happy holidays, and I'm hoping that everyone stays safe. And like we just talked about, just keep Mayfield in your prayers. And everybody, please stay safe this holiday season. We don't want anything else happening.
And to paraphrase our friend Zane O'Mac, Zane Peterson, who always ends our podcast with these words, it's a great time to be a wrestling fan.
Yes, it is.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Wrestling was an essential service.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
Correct!
The thoughts and opinions heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being.
Well, if you want a rematch, you aren't getting one.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I can't take it no more. I would rather wash clothes than watch SmackDown or Raw.
So I am an equal opportunity offender here.
I guess they watch the Mickey Mouse Club before they start writing. I don't know. Or
pitiful. I mean, pitiful.
Controversy creates cash. There's no steel chairs. Nobody's taking any DDTs. I'm sorry, but if I saw him walking down the sidewalk, I'd go to the other side of the street. No, thank you.
He thinks the butcher shop is the coolest thing in the world.
I'm the old man of this group, you know.
Oh, I'm sure there will be, and I hope that he does get arrested or he gets fined or the referee sues him for every dime that he has. That'll probably be one comic book for him.
Sounds like this guy needs a good butt whooping.
Wrestling is a violent ballet.
Butt whooping.
It's a whole different animal.
Yes, that's my point.
It's the most wonderful time of the year, you know. As they used to say in WCW, season's beatings.
That's pretty cool.
Well, you were probably hoping that Marissa Tomei would show up anytime so you could get next to her like in My Cousin Vinny, right? I've got to bet.
Oh, you know it.
Yeah, I my hat's off to him as well, plus my hair.
No.
Yeah,
that's what real wrestling is all about.
Yeah.